The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get to the guest hotline, Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And let's welcome onto the show John Orand, who's a sports correspondent for Puck. We've always loved talking sports business with John. John, it's good to talk to you again. Danny's out today. Toby's in. It's Grant. How are you?
I'm heading out to a Nats Park tonight. I think I'm going to be one of like 500 people. It's Nats and A's. Talk about a terrible game.
Well, somehow, the chances of this happening are like 0.17%. You, me, and Toby will all be at that game. Three people interacting right now are all going to end up at Nats Park. I don't think this is happening anywhere else in the city right now.
Wow, yeah, it's a trend. Everybody go now. Exactly.
Maybe they'll be sold out. I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, why not?
It's going to be a packed house tonight. John, I wanted to talk about this merger with ESPN and NFL Media and some of my concerns that I'm worried about and let you give us an idea of what this looks like. But let's paint with a broad brush first. What is happening exactly?
So what's happening is that the NFL owns NFL Network. It owns NFL Red Zone. And so it is doing a deal with ESPN. Those have been on the block forever because the NFL launched them, you know, 20 years ago, and they rose with the cable industry. But as anybody that follows media knows, the cable industry is in a world of hurt right now. It's losing subscribers. Everybody's going to streaming. And so the NFL has been trying to sell these networks for quite a while because the NFL doesn't like to be associated with anything that's declining. Everything it does has been going up for as long as I've been covering them, which is a couple of decades. So these have been on the block for about the past 2 years, and ESPN has been the most likely place for them. And so ESPN, they want to get these two networks for a couple of reasons. And so actually, you asked what is happening. ESPN is going to oversee NFL Network, and it's going to oversee NFL Red Zone. And the NFL is going to take probably about a 10% stake in ESPN. And for ESPN, the reason for doing this deal is twofold. One is the NFL TV ratings, just as media. It is the most powerful media enterprise in the United States right now. It gets better TV ratings. It gets more people subscribing to streaming. It gets better streaming numbers than anyone. And so getting involved with the NFL is great for ESPN because it wants to stay involved. If they're partners, it's less likely that the NFL, when Monday Night Football rights come up, are going to take those rights and try to take them to the highest bidder. And so for the NFL, for ESPN, that works really well. Secondly, ESPN is, within the next couple of weeks probably, going to be launching a direct-to-consumer service. And one way to get people to subscribe to this direct-to-consumer service, which is going to be about $30 a month, is by having access to NFL Red Zone. And so if they have that NFL Red Zone as part of that service, the belief is it's going to bring in a lot more subscribers than if they didn't have it. So everything is sort of conspiring to allow this sort of deal to happen right now.
So then a couple follow-ups to that. I have YouTube TV so that I can have Red Zone and Sunday Ticket. I'd imagine I still get Red Zone with that, number one. And then also this DTC, the direct-to-consumer ESPN $30 a month thing. I have ESPN Plus, which is a lot less than that. And it gives me all the games for all the sports, like 150 college games of random directional schools I've never heard of. Do I not have that anymore? Like, is that a different thing?
Can I ask you a question? Why do you have ESPN Plus? What do they carry that interests you?
That is a great question. I got it because my wife is a big JMU football fan, and that's how we watch all the JMU games, essentially, that aren't on ESPN. Like, they just have dozens of random college football games.
And then it's total inertia. It's like, well, we're subscribers. I'm not gonna get
yeah,
rid
exactly.
of it.
Exactly. I mean, I also, you know, there's a couple of shoulder programs with ESPN that I think about it, like the NFL season, the old Chris Berman, Tom Jackson NFL primetime with the music that's nostalgic.
That's great. Yeah.
I love that show. And like I watched that. To be honest with you, like as we talk right now, I don't think I've watched anything on ESPN Plus in a few months and I'm paying for it. But football season I will check out a few things.
All right. So if you're a YouTube TV subscriber or a Comcast subscriber or a DirecTV subscriber, you are still going to have NFL Network. You're still going to have access to NFL Red Zone. That's not going. This is not exclusively going to ESPN. It's just going to be another place for fans to watch that channel. As far as ESPN Plus, eventually they're going to have to sunset it. They're going to have to get rid of that brand. But right now, because of certain deals that they have, like with UFC and I don't know specifically which college conferences, but a couple of the smaller college conferences, like those, the contracts they have with those deals, they have to be part of this ESPN Plus. So if you become a subscriber to this new app, you'll get ESPN Plus. But if you're an ESPN Plus subscriber, like you're an ESPN Plus subscriber, so you would end up probably just ditching that and subscribing to the ESPN app.
You mentioned that ESPN going to be overseeing the NFL Network programming and then NFL Red Zone. Would we see any differences and changes in that programming, or will it stay mostly the same just with it?
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Different oversight.
I think it'll generally stay mostly the same. Here's the one thing about ESPN is that this is what they do for a living. This isn't necessarily what the NFL did for a living. So I think that you will see, I'm going to say two things that are going to sound polar opposite, but it's still somewhat true. You're going to see it more professionalized. The ESPN, they're part of ABC. ESPN has been around for you know, how many years, 50 years or so. So they're going to be able to, you know, do things a lot more professionally and make some of the studio shows look more professional. At the same time, you know, like Mina Kimes has a show on at night that's sort of a Zoom from her house, you know. So they've also leaned into the other aspect of it. So you are going to see certain changes. You're going to see a certain ESPN stamp go into it. But if you're an NFL fan and you like the NFL Network, you'll still like the NFL Network. I think the changes are going to be. Yeah, you'll notice them, but they're not going to be massive.
What about crossover talent like Mina Kimes on Good Morning Football type stuff? Or, you know, they can't do a show, I'm pretty sure, contractually at ESPN without Pat McAfee being involved. Like, how do they have him sitting next
to Stephen A. Smith?
Yeah, well, him too. I mean, it's one or the other. Normally not together. They're never in the same room at the same time. But they can't do anything without one of them. Like, do they somehow ruin Red Zone? I know they want to desperately. How will they?
I can't. How could they ruin Red Zone? Red Zone is live look-ins to various games. I can't imagine that ESPN is going to come in and shake up Red Zone. I mean, Red Zone works the way.
Here's
it works.
The way I'm envisioning it. Right, Scott Hansen goes to a game, and then Stephen A. Smith, like, kind of there's a little chyron at the bottom where, like, he pops up and he starts debating the legacy of the quarterback of the game you're watching. And whether or not this game will ruin his legacy.
Yeah, bring in the third string quarterback. Here's what I'll say to try to alleviate your fears, because I have heard a lot of fears about, oh no, when ESPN gets a hold of whatever, you know, they hired Pat McAfee, and Pat McAfee, he went on air and publicly called out executives at ESPN. And he's publicly bashed other people at ESPN, and he does outrageous things that you never thought a Disney-owned company would allow, and they allow that. So under Jimmy Pitaro, who runs ESPN, he has a much more relaxed view about, like, if we're going to pay to bring in talent, we have to let the talent be the talent. And so he knows what works for NFL Red Zone, and putting putting Stephen A. to you know, roll his eyes every time the Jets throw an interception is not going to work for the NFL red zone, and I can't imagine that they're going to do it.
Music
although I
to
would
my
to see that. That would be fun.
I love that. John O'Rand is with us. All right, we'll let you out on this one. We only have about a minute left here. We're late, but I wanted to crowbar in Masson and the Nats. So when the dispute ended and it looked like the Nats were a free agent for TV rights, I was very hopeful of maybe something bigger and better. There is this sneaking suspicion, though, that Masson could still be the landing spot. I even saw they're talking with the Orioles about continuing the marriage here.
Yeah, I mean, so where else are they going to go? What you're describing was a scenario and the situation like 5 years ago or 6 years ago when they could have broken away and they could have had multiple partners bidding on their rights. But the whole regional sports network system is in disarray. Cable is in disarray. That's why we've been talking about the ESPN app for this conversation. So there aren't that many other areas.
You don't think Monumental would be a landing spot?
Monumental possibly could be a landing spot, but if I were Masson, I'd be spending a lot of money to try to keep the Nats on board. I mean, they already have a lot of name recognition and branding here in D.C. I would so Monumental could be a landing spot, but it would take a lot of money, and I'm not sure if Ted will step up for a rights fee battle war.
John, appreciate the time, man. Hopefully we get to watch some good baseball tonight.
Hey, if I hear you booing, it'll echo through the stadium.
Yeah, remember, you have your own section, your own bathroom, and your own concession stand. Don't come to mine and don't go to Toby's, all right? We all get our own tonight.
Yeah, nobody's going to be on the Metro on the way there. It'll be great.
Thanks, John. Be good. What
Take
are
care,
the chances
bye.
Of that? The three of us all going to the ball game tonight. Three of the 4,700 or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, something like that.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.